week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello and a beautiful Sunday morning to you. Yes, we try to bring a message of encouragement, strength, that we might tell you the beautiful story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is the day the Lord hath made, and the Bible said we can rejoice and we can be glad therein. So let's start a broadcast today by doing a song that says, Hello, Mama.
You know, there can be no greater treasure than to have a praying mother. I had a praying mother who always prayed for me. But I must confess, I thought my condition was very hopeless. But late one night, I called my mother and on the phone, and here's what I said. Hello, Mama. I just called to tell you all those tears you shed for me, they were not in vain. Something happened tonight while traveling down a country road. Just thought you'd like to be the first to know that I'm not the same. For all those weary days are over now, those sleepless nights are past, and all those prayers that you have prayed so the Lord my soul would keep, I might find my way. No, I'm so thankful through my loneliness and all of my wasted years. Mama, those prayers kept ringing in my ears every night and day. Now all those weary days are over now, those sleepless nights are past, and all those prayers that you have prayed so long, they're answered.
Permission right now, if you'd like to call your mother and tell her that Brother Tommy did that just especially for you, and you're welcome to do that, because hey, I wish this morning I could call my mother. I can't, but anyhow, my mother's in heaven. Maybe she's listening to the broadcast today. Who knows? But anyhow, I want you to know that we love you, we appreciate you, and we're so glad that we've had a couple problems with the broadcast, and everything is back up to normal, so let's just not complain, let's just be thankful that everything is going as well as it is. Okay, well, I am glad I'm here with you today, and we've got a very special message here in just a little bit. This message is around 18 or 19 minutes long, and I'm going to play a couple more songs, and we're going to get right into the message, because I want you to hear this, and the message is, is God unfair?
Here the road has been rough, but someday I will walk on streets of pure gold. And the closer I get, the more I want to talk about the streets of pure gold. Won't it be sweet just to walk down the street to the path that has never been told? See the mansion. And my dad upon the streets of pure gold. Down here they suffer from pain. Oh, won't we be glad on streets of pure gold.
Chapter 20, you will find in verse 1 through verse 16 about the laborer who was talking about the kingdom of heaven. And in this message, and it's 19 minutes long, so we've got to get into it, and it's hard to play part of it and then come back and play the other part. But right now, we're going to this message called, Is God Fair?
His wife and his mother-in-law was killed just right down the road. I'm speaking about Junior Duncan. The doctor wouldn't do the surgery on me because of the shock that I received. It was a very shocking thing. And by going through that, I can just about imagine the way that Bob is feeling when that policeman walked up to his house and said, Bob, I have bad news. Your wife, your mother-in-law, and your daughter have been killed in a car wreck. The tragedy hit Bob so hard that Bob screamed out without even any thought, I don't deserve this. God, you ain't fair. All of a sudden, Bob moved into an area where the rest of us have to move in. I've got to have somebody to blame this on. So he blames it on God. He said, God, I don't deserve this. Why is this happening to me? Because he was hurt. He was bitter. He became angry. Well, he said, I'll get vengeance. I'll go to court, and this boy that's killed my family, in the courts will give him justice, and he'll die. He'll die for the penalty of his crime. But it didn't happen that way. They went to court, and they tried the young man for drunk driving, but lo and behold, the jury acquitted him and could not even charge him for drunk driving. Well, again, Bob's outraged. He jumps up in the courtroom and says, "It ain't fair. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve for my family to die and let him go free." Very angry and very bitter. He goes home. That's all he could think about. His life is shipwrecked. You can about imagine, how can a man go on with life when everything he's got is gone? I've got to have somebody to blame this on. He, from day until dark, he would say, "God, you've been very unfair to me," because he was wanting to play the blame game. "I've got to blame this on somebody. God, I've been a good man. I've worked hard for my family. I've provided for my family. I've paid all my bills. I owe no man, and I've been a good man. I go to church on Sunday. I sing in the choir. I do all that a good person ought to do. And look what you let happen to me." He's got to blame God. He's got to blame somebody. One day, he was sitting on the couch, and things are going to change for Bob. He's sitting there in all his bitterness, all his hate. I mean, after all, the man's walking the street. They killed my the loved ones, the people that I loved and cared for so much. And while he was sitting there, something happened. All of a sudden, it seemed as God broke into that mind that was so disturbed and so full of hate and so full of bitterness. And said, "Bob, I gave you much more than you ever deserved. You didn't have a job because you deserve it. You didn't have a wife because you deserve it. You didn't have a mother-in-law and a daughter because you deserved it. Those are gifts that I let you borrow for just a little while. And Bob, you didn't have them because you deserved it. You had them because I felt that you needed them. You needed a wife to share your life. You needed a daughter to smile, one you could be proud of. And you needed a mother-in-law that you could love. My mother-in-law used to say all the time, when he gets to ever love me, I know there's something wrong with him. I wasn't about to let her know how I felt, because I knew she would never let me forget it. But can you see the situation that he's in? Because he felt like, hey, I don't deserve for this to happen. But yet all of a sudden, the picture changes. He has more than he ever deserved. We don't have what we have because we deserve it. Because we don't deserve anything. I was pulling my money out of my pocket there just a while ago, and I was looking on just about every coin I look on. There is a printed thing. It says, "In God do we trust." I pull out a penny. I look at it. It says, "In God do we trust." I would pull out a dollar bill if I had one, but the dollar bill says, "In God we trust." And yet we ask God, "God bless America." We sing the song, "God bless America" again. But God has blessed America. We are people who have been blessed abundantly. We have gone through wars, and God has brought us safely through every one of those. Our forefathers settled in America for one reason, that they might have a place of freedom to worship God. But today, God's been challenged. God is the biggest problem in America. God has become a problem in the world. Because, you see, we think everything we have is something that we deserve. God knew that we needed him. I never will forget the prayer that the little boy was praying one night before he went to bed. He said, "God, I thank you for my mother. And God, I thank you for my father. I thank you for my schoolmates, and I thank you for my school, and I thank you for all that you have given me." And he jumps into bed. And he got back out and said, "Oh, by the way, God, I thank you for being God. And please don't let anything happen to you, because if it does, we're all in bad shape. We don't deserve all that we have. We don't deserve all the good things that God has given us. Why is America, why is the world against God? Why would they go down into our colleges and put up signs where God is expelled from this university? Why would, at Emory and Henry College many years ago, why would Altizer, Mr. Altizer, the Einstein of theology, why would this man stand up and say God has died in our time? Why would another atheist say that God is dead and the church is no more than a tombstone to his memory? Another man answered that by saying this. He said, to see a world without God would be like looking in a looking glass and not seeing your own face. We have more today than we ever deserved. We don't get the things that we deserve. God just knew that we needed them. You know me, I like old Hank Williams. I love Hank Williams' recitation. I like the one about the funeral. I did it one Sunday morning here. He said, God didn't give you that little baby by 100,000 miles. He just felt you need some sunshine, and he lent him to you for a little while. He lets you keep and love him till your heart's a bigger grown, and the silver tears you're shedding now are just interest all alone. You see, God gives us sunshine. God gives us laughter. God gives us joy. Sure, he takes our loved ones. Sure, they die. Sure, we plant them in the ground. He's as sad as we are. The Bible said the last thing God would destroy would be death. One day, God will put death under his feet, and there shall never be no more death. He don't like tears. The Bible said he'll wipe every one of them away from our eyes. God don't like the smell of flowers going to the cemetery. There's a lot of things you don't like that God don't like either. But you see, God wanted us to have a little sunshine, so he lent him just for a little while. I wrote this down. I like this. Say, charity may be requested, but justice is demanded. The biblical injunction does not beg. It demands. Not suggests, but commands. Not thou ought to, but thou shall. Today, the Ten Commandments are offensive. The law of the land is offensive to many people. You can't hang them upon the wall. You can marry same-sex marriage, but get the Ten Commandments down because they deal with God. The moral issue of our land has become corrupted. We are living, and I want to state it again, we are living in a polluted land. We are polluted with sin, sex, drugs, alcohol is eating away the minds and the hearts of our young people. Because, listen, we are forgetting the God of the universe. We're forgetting that God holds the world in the palm of his hand. God holds every life. He holds every breath. He holds everything right in the palm of his hand. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, he can take it all away from us, just like he did Bob. What would happen if God did go on strike? Supposing God would say, it's just a good thing that God above has never gone on strike, because he wasn't treated fair for the things that he didn't like. If he had ever once sat down and said, that's it, I'm through, I've had enough of those on earth, so this is what I'm going to do. I'll give my orders. I'll cut off the sun. I'll cut off their heat supply. I'll even stop the moon. I'll give no more light. And I'll run the ocean dry. Then just to really make it tough, I'll put the pressure on them. I'll turn off their air and oxygen till every breath is gone. Do you know he'd be justified if fairness was his game? For no one has been more abused or treated with such disdain than God, and yet he carries on supplying you and me with all the favorites of his grace, and everything is free. Men say they want better deals, and so on strike they go. But what a deal we are giving God, to whom everything we owe. We don't care whom we hurt or whom we harm to gain the things we like. But what a mess we'd all be in if God went on strike. Is God fair? Is God fair? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? If fairness was his game, he wouldn't have done that. If he didn't want to be fair to America, in the Garden of Eden, he'd walk away from that scene. He gave man everything. He gave him the beauty of the earth. He gave him the food. He gave him the water. He gave him the air. He gave him everything he needed. Sin came, and man was challenged. And people every day were challenged. I mean, every day we're challenged. We sit on the pity stump sometime. Somebody ain't treating me fair. I'm not getting treated fair in this world. Stripes, men walk around with strike signs in their hand. And the sign says, unfair labor. Everywhere you go, it seems that everybody is crying unfair. But God said, I'll not let him go. And then a shadow on the hillside appear for a man hangs there dying. He cries, I thirst. God turned his back from the small, lonely heel. Jesus Christ became your supreme sacrifice. He paid a price that you couldn't pay. You owed the debt, but he paid the price. Jesus Christ died upon a cross. They are projecting a movie today, and that movie has warmed and moved the hearts of more people than we ever thought it would. Little did they know when they began to sing. Little did they know when they begin to copy and begin the dramatization of this movie, of the many people that would see it. Sam told us this morning that he and his wife went to see it. He said, Peggy said during that entire movie that you could have actually heard a pin drop. I don't know. Anybody here seen it? Okay. They said that you could hear a pin drop in that place. She said the only thing you could hear was the sniffles and the snuffles of people as they were weeping, as Jesus Christ was being portrayed. Something that the church has preached about and talked about so many years. He didn't deserve to die. Read in Isaiah 53. The Bible said, for he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. But by whose stripes I am healed. He was put on the cross by God the Father himself. It was a cruel day. I think it was Rusty Goodman wrote a song, and I love to sing. It must have rained in heaven on crucifixion day. All the lights went out in heaven. The angels refused to sing because it was a day of destruction for heaven on that rainy day. You see, Jesus Christ was dying upon a cross. He cried, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why? Because God loved you so much. You didn't deserve that. You didn't deserve God saving you by giving his only begotten son. He did it because he loved us. The Bible said no greater love hath any man than he would lay down his life for a friend. I think today that we need to go back and ask God the question, God, are you a fair God? God, I blamed you on many things. I blamed you for many things. But God, I've been wrong. I think of all these aborted babies. I mean, literally thousands of babies are cut from the womb, salt by salt, cut in pieces, and taken from the womb today. And we want to legalize abortion. It's murder. One little lady who wasn't really in her full mind on television this week, she's going to be tried for murder because she refused to have a C-section because she didn't want to leave a scar on her body and let one of the little children die. So therefore, they're going to try her for murder. I told Martha, I said, when does it get right and when does it get wrong? We abort millions of babies, but now we're going to try one mother because she let her baby die. This world's out of control. We don't know right from wrong anymore. I'll tell you why. We've become an unappreciated nation. We do not appreciate God. We do not appreciate the things that we don't even deserve. God gives them anyhow. He gives us sunshine. He gives us rain. Look at this beautiful church. Look at this beautiful crowd. My, what God give you, a beautiful place to worship the Lord. And yet sometimes we feel like it's all there because we did it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Let me tell you something. The story says he goes out. He looks for people to work. And he goes out at 1 hour and he hires them. He says, I'll give you a penny. I want you to see the story. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to give you a penny. He goes out again. There's people idle. He said, I'll give you a penny if you'll come and work. It's now the middle of the day. Then he goes out in the late evening hours. And he saw some more standing idle, so I'll give you a penny if you'll come and work. He gave them a penny to come and work. But look at the time. One started at 8, one started at 12, and one starts at 3. And then it come time to pay the crowd off. and you give them everyone a penny. And then all of a sudden, the ones who had gone at 8 o'clock begin to grumble because the ones who went at 12 and 3 got the same as they did. I want to ask you a question. When did God ever put seniority in the church anyhow? Church is not run by seniority. Church is not run by who's been here the longest. Church isn't run by who's been saved the longest. I mean, it's appreciative. I know that many of you have labored. You stop to think about it. You've labored and you've worked. You've kept the doors open when nobody else...
I'm not on an eagle tree. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes. I often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Was on his face, thorns were on his head, blood was on his scarlet robe, stained a crimson red, though his eyes was on the crowd that day. Ahead in time, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he.
Father, as we come to the close of the broadcast today, we trust that this message, God, has touched the hearts of the people. Our hearts are heavy this morning, Lord, because we realize our nation is in such trouble. Homes and families. And Lord, there's so much that's going on in America today, and we just don't understand, God. And we do understand one thing, that if you don't intervene, God, our nation will be lost. God, I thank you for these who stood behind me on this radio ministry. These, God, who have paid and prayed. And the tears that I shed today, I shed them for my listeners. I shed them for the shut-in, the sick. Lord, and those that are lost without you. And God, I thank you for the messages that you give me. Sometimes I feel like a wacko preaching like I preach, Lord, but you know my heart, you know my mind. And God, I thank you for that. God, may this message touch the hearts of our listeners. God, touch America again. Bring us back to our knees. Bring us back to the place where we ought to be for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, neighbor, I'm not going to ask you to forgive me for being all broken up, but and when your own preaching and Martha's singing breaks you up, then there's something wrong with you. Well, there is something wrong with me. I've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm so glad for that. I thank you. I thank you for Alan Prophet and Melinda. I appreciate hearing from you this week, and Mary Howe, and we've got so many people that we need to thank. And well, I just thank you. Will you help me continue this ministry here on this 99.5 each Sunday morning at 7 o'clock? And then Barry Harper will be with us on the fourth Sunday night with singers over at the James Chapel. Now, that service will start at 7 o'clock, and we'd love to have you come and be with us if you can. Will you do that? Well, neighbor, I hope you've enjoyed the broadcast today, and pray for us and help us if you can. But until the same time next Sunday, may God bless you and yours. That is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.